If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are discussing a unique method for communicating in your relationship, which is inspired by software people and stuff.
Yeah, software people. So seriously, guys, this week we're going to be talking to you about Agile Scrum and how that can apply to your relationship. And yes, if you're like us, you also have no idea what any of that means, but just hang tight. And
well, we know what it means now.
Well,
yeah, we know what it means now.
And actually, I want to thank my partner Joshua for showing us this article by Alana Krauss. He actually sent us the Scrum article, which was something about how to perform Agile Scrum on your relationships.
Right.
So, many moons ago.
With that, let's actually get into it. Let's explain what Agile Scrum is. Dedeker, did you want to do a little history lesson?
Yes, since I'm a mini Scrum historian now.
Yes.
So the Scrum process was originally created back in the 80s. Specifically, if we're going to give a shout-out to my bros, Ikuhiro Nonaka and Hirotaka Takeuchi, these were the Japanese professors who first created this idea of the Scrum process. Essentially, what the Scrum process does is it helps a team, usually a software developer team, take a big project and break it down into smaller tasks that can be distributed and that have to be completed over the course of like shorter deadlines. So instead of a team being handed a big project like produce this piece of software.
Right. You have 2 years to do it. Yeah,
exactly. It gets broken up into maybe more like these are like weekly deadlines or maybe bi-weekly deadlines.
Right.
And incorporates like a lot of team meetings, a lot of status updates, a lot of check-ins in order to maintain kind of a feedback cycle to make sure that everything's happening smoothly, that everything's moving forward. Again, if you have no idea what the hell this has to do with relationships, just hang in there. We will get to it.
Yes.
And you may have actually seen this on the famed comedy show Silicon Valley.
Yes, they do talk about
this. The character Jared instilled this upon everyone, and it actually worked very well.
Right. So if you want a funny version of it, check out Silicon Valley Season 3, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in the Agile Manifesto, which is now a thing, there's sort of this whole bunch of framework and ways of running a company that are using these principles. But in the manifesto, which is actually very simple, they just talk about kind of what the real point of it is. And there are four bullet points, and I just want to talk about the fourth one, which is the one that's most relevant to what we're doing, since we're not developing software, we're developing good relationships. And that is that they value responding to change over following a plan.
That's and a very good one.
If you think about that in terms of relationships, it's about, maybe not following a plan per se, but it's responding to change versus trying hard to keep a relationship the same, which I think is how a lot of monogamous relationships were sort of taught to approach them that way. That it's like you get to that happily ever after, and then you need to try to keep that, whatever that is. But that this is more about responding to change. And this is not something specific to polyamory at all. In fact, the article that we got this idea from, the author is in a monogamous relationship. So anyway, it is a very useful thing because it's approaching your relationship in just sort of a different way, like kind of opening up some discussion. So how do we go next? Should we talk about what a Scrum meeting is like
Well, I kind of want to give a little more background about the article itself.
Sure.
Alana Krauss, who wrote this article on Medium, which we will throw the toss the link up in the episode description for you guys if you want to read the original article. She and her partner are both software developers, and they both come from a world where in their workplaces they're using the Agile Scrum process a lot. And they had the idea of, like, how could we apply this to our relationship? And, I mean, obviously, you know, they sound like they're both very left-brained people. I'm very much a left-brained person. So, like, for me, reading this article was like, oh my God, yes, like, this is, like, the best sounding thing ever. Yes, I love left-brained processes. For some people, it's kind of like, what? Like, why would you do this? Why would you treat your relationship like you're developing a piece of software? That doesn't make any sense. But we'll also get to kind of allaying perhaps those of you who are a little bit skeptical a little later on in the episode. Specifically because for what, 3 months now, 4 months now, after reading this article, Jason and I were inspired to start scheduling Scrum meetings on a monthly basis. And then we also started doing it with our other partners as well.
And we started doing it for Multiamory.
Yes, exactly. We kind of started doing the business version of it for Multiamory.
Right.
And, like, I really have to say, I mean, I think it's worked out fantastically on the Multiamory side and on the relationship side, kind of in very different ways, but ultimately very positive ways.
Yeah.
I still need to do it for my relationships. I'm excited to try that. But for Multiamory, I mean, I was a little skeptical. I was like, I don't know about this. But I love it. I love the structure and, like, being able to visually see, which I think we'll go into, but visually see something each week about, like, what I need to work on, what I need to do, and then kind of moving things around in order to make that happen. So it's been very, very cool.
Yeah, and I love how adaptable it is, too, that we're not stuck kind of trying to do the same thing all the time or being like...
Which is what it says we shouldn't do in the manifesto.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to really quickly put that in perspective of a relationship, say you have a discussion just kind of randomly about, like, hey, I'm having this issue or this is something, like, okay, let's... I'll try doing this to work on it or whatever. And then time goes by and you might not get that feedback about, like, yeah, this is working, this is helping, or maybe not, let's tweak it a little bit. There's not sort of a structure for that.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times it leads to having anxiety about, like, oh gosh, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or if I, you know, how it's going. So having a structure like this has really been helpful for me with that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely... I found for my own life, and probably some of the most frequent advice that I give to my clients is to find some kind of structure for your communication, to find some kind of system. It doesn't mean that you need to be hemmed in by the system, but because the fact that, like, human communication is such a fragile, delicate thing, and especially when people start getting emotional, it becomes even more fragile and even more delicate and even more prone to misunderstandings. That having the skeleton of some kind of system to fall back on can really, really help. I found that this, you know, kind of doing Agile Scrum on your relationship and for your relationship discussions is just one of many excellent systems that you can employ for that, for better communication.
All right. So if we're going to start using a Scrum setup in our relationships, there are two things basically that we need to do to get that started. The first is just to decide to do it and to set aside time for it. This article and also what Dedeker and I have done and what I've done in my other relationship where I'm doing Scrum is to do it once a month. And ideally, you schedule the next one when you have the previous one. You could also, I guess, set it up recurring, like we're going to do it on the first of every month or the first Sunday of every month, or, you know, whatever you want to do. But it's setting aside the time. And I would say to set aside 3 hours. It might take
at least
you,
for the first one, for sure.
Yeah,
I would say for all of them, have the 3 hours. And if it only takes you an hour and a half, you've got extra time.
Great.
But, you know, have a good solid block of time to, like, to really be able to spend the time digging into stuff. And then the second is to have some way of keeping notes together. If you live together, you can have a notebook that you pull out that's like the Scrum notebook. You know, you could do it all on a whiteboard if you want to be all, you know, corporate-y and, like, take pictures of it to save that. But it is important to have it somewhere where you can save it. What Dedeker and I do is to create a Google Doc that is shared with each other so that we can both be adding notes to it as we're doing it. And then also in between Scrums, that's where we can check back what we talked about, or we can also go in and add notes for things we want to remember to talk about at the next one.
Mm-hmm. Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping code MULTI.
Mm-hmm. So the Scrum conversation itself is broken down into six specific steps. Now, step number one is to review past actions. And usually this probably won't happen during your first Scrum, because this is kind of the step where you look at your notes from the last Scrum meeting, see what actions you guys decided to take, and then kind of follow up on those.
Yeah, how did we do about it? Did we do them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So the second step is to review the past month. And that can be any number of things. You can talk about, you know, oh, that's right, like a week ago we had an argument about this, or oh, we had that really nice date where we did this, or even things that are in your personal life, like maybe not things that are relevant to both of you. You know, talking about, I got this promotion at work and that's felt really good, but also has been kind of stressful because of the extra responsibility, you know.
Right.
Or even tiny things like, you took care of me when I was sick and that was really nice. So it's just kind of generally reviewing what are the things that happened. And at this stage, when you're reviewing, you're not necessarily like, for instance, if there is an issue, if it is like, oh, we got into that argument and I still have some thoughts about that, you're going to save that at this point. Right now, you're just kind of acknowledging the events that happened during the month.
Right. And this is...
Just thinking about them objectively.
Right. And this is intended to be something that one person goes and then the other does. Okay. And you're practicing, you know, actively listening, paying attention, and not butting in a lot. Sometimes when Dedeker and I are doing this, it'll be like, oh, right, I totally forgot about that. And we'll have a little discussion about it. But the point of this is just to review how this past month has been for each of you, not to discuss it. But as stuff comes up, put it in a list, which is going to come up in the next step. But something I did want to say that helped me a lot with this review of the month that I didn't do the first time is actually pull up your calendar. especially if you put your events in a Google Calendar or something like that, just, you know, my own personal Google Calendar, by pulling that up. Yeah, by pulling that up, yeah. I could see, like, oh, right, that's, you know, when I got really sick during that time, or, oh, I went to that discussion group and had this amazing emotional experience, or, you know, whatever it is, like, mm-hmm. it kind of helps trigger those things and remind you, oh, right, that those were things that happened, or, oh, I remember your parents came to town and that mm-hmm. was terrifying, or, right, like, whatever the event is, yeah. I found it really helps to actually pull up your calendar and just go through it. It's just sort yeah. of a nice way to kind of recap the month.
Yeah. So after you've reviewed everything that's happened in the past month, then it's time to agree what the agenda is going to be. And this is specifically referring to the agenda for the next step, which is going to be for discussion.
Right.
So as in the things that you reviewed from the past month, you know, is there anything that could use more discussion? You know, mm-hmm. so if it is like, oh, we kind of snapped at each other over something a couple days ago, mm-hmm. you know, let's put that on the agenda to talk about that. Mm, we're like, right, okay, cool. You know, or if it is like, oh yeah, your parents came into town, that was terrifying, but like, let's debrief whole interaction
yeah.
went.
Post-mortem,
yeah. Yeah, so we'll put that on the agenda.
But this is also where you're going to talk about the stuff that's coming up, maybe, or other things that you have yeah. written down during the previous month or that come to you right now of like, oh, I want to be sure mm-hmm. we talk about this. Like, yeah. if I can yeah. give a personal example, Dedeker is going to be coming back to the States pretty soon.
Yes.
So in our last scrum, we're talking about that. Like, hey, what dates make sense? When are you going to get your tickets? What things are we going to plan, both for mm-hmm. for Multiamory, for our work together, but also just for our personal relationship? So yeah. it's not just the stuff from the past month. It can also be planning things or like say, hey, we have a holiday coming up. Let's figure out what we're mm-hmm. going to do. Right. There's lots mm-hmm. of things that you can decide to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then, you know, kind of once you guys have agreed on the agenda, and it can be in any order, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes if you want to get heavier topics out of the way first, if you have more energy, that works. Or sometimes it helps like to start out with lighter topics to kind of get you talking and warmed up and relaxed and then hit the heavier stuff, you know, yeah. just kind of
we
whatever
sometimes
order
move ours
feels,
around.
yeah. yeah, whatever order feels depending right to day. You guys. Mm-hmm. And then you enter the discussion phase. Well, this feels like the instructions for a board game or like a card game.
It does a little bit.
Or like that's a so role-playing game.
That's great. I did want to clarify one thing real quick with agreeing the agenda, is that we've found that part of that is you have this big list of all the stuff, kind of choosing which things we're not going to talk about as well. Hmm. If it's like, yeah, that is something we should address, but like, let's maybe wait till the next scrum to get more into that, just because we have a lot of things and we want to be sure we spend time on all of them. That's something that comes up more for us with the Multiamory scrum, because we do those every week.
Yeah.
So we can be like, yeah, okay, that's a bit much right now. Let's put that one off till next week. But for the relationship one, we do tend to get through all of the points we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Even if they might only take a few minutes to talk about, we'll still put them on the list there.
Yeah.
Okay, so then discussion.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, but, you know, that's the time to kind of go item by item mm-hmm. and discuss. And ideally, you know, you're using active listening. Maybe you're reflecting. Maybe you're asking questions, you know. You know, maybe you're trying to seek understanding mm-hmm. and it's so interesting, as I found that in my scrums with all my partners, actually, that the discussion period can cover so many different emotional spaces.
Oh, yeah.
Like in a way that like wouldn't happen normally, that you can go from like cracking up about something to crying about something to being really frustrated and angry about something,
yeah.
Back to like feeling good and cuddly and affectionate about something, which like sounds weird and chaotic, but I've actually found it to be really nice, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion.
It kind of creates a safe space for you to do that
yeah,
and like time set aside,
yeah.
it seems like.
Yeah, like creates definitely. A structure around
yeah.
it, a container.
A container.
Within which
exactly,
yes.
there's a container, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did want to go through this list from the article on Medium.com just about some questions to ask during this discussion phase.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of these will be more or less relevant to different topics you're talking about. But basically, what happened and how did you feel?
Mm-hmm.
How was that from your perspective? Why was that upsetting for you? Is there a bigger issue behind that situation? Is there something I could have done differently? What can I do to support you? How could we create a better dynamic? And what is the outcome you'd like to achieve? So you'll notice that, all of these questions are kind of trying to get at, get at the heart of it, look at it from different ways, trying to get information, not just like, I'm angry, so I'm going to yell or something, right? That I think the other part of this structure that I've really enjoyed is how it, it does keep it focused on like, hey, how are we going to make things better? How are we going to improve things?
Sorry, I just wanted to point out what this also said. It says we focus on enhancing mutual understanding, each person feeling heard, honesty and constructive communication and problem solving. I think that's super important. Because, again, it's not like two people going at each other, which can often happen in an argument.
Right.
But rather, it's like we're setting up this time to make sure that, like, everything gets said, but that also we have kind of these common goals in mind.
And I will say, too, this doesn't have to just be fixing problems. I found
that a lot of different things.
In all my relationships where we do Scrum, it's also like, hey, here's something that we've talked about wanting to do more of or explore more of, or something that we've both said we like. How can we do more of that? Or how can we, you know, move forward with that? So it's also positive things, not just trying to fix problems.
Of course.
And, you know, this kind of leads into the next step, the step number 5 of scrumming, which is to start agreeing on action points. Before getting to that, though, you know, like you said, not everything is going to result in an action point. You know, I think in one of our early scrums, you know, something that was on the agenda was me talking about a therapy session that I had. Just because I hadn't had the chance to share with Jace what I got out of that. But, like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't solving a problem. It wasn't something that we needed to take some kind of action on. It was just, like, just a space to be heard and just to share with them and discuss that, and that was it. But with things where you're either trying to find some sort of solution or solve a problem or, you know, kind of take steps towards something that you guys both want, that then it comes down to agreeing on action points. And the action points are, like, tangible steps that both of you will agree to take in the time that it takes to get to the next meeting. So as in, like, well, for the next month, we're going to do this.
Right.
You know, for the next month, we're going to try to do this.
And the you know, key is being actionable, right?
Yes.
Which means that there's actually a thing you can do. It's not just, like, be nicer, but a specific, like,
be better.
Right?
Being such an asshole.
A specific thing you're going to do.
So, like, for instance, you know, in my scrums with Jace, you know, we've done all kinds of things. Like, some of our action points have been, like, you know, since we're in a long-distance relationship right now, I think we kind of came to the realization of, like, oh, like, this is a time, a specific time. Like, there's an hour when I get up in the morning, my time, and, like, before Jace is going to bed, his time, that, like, we can agree to set aside to just, like, text each other or maybe have a short phone call or something. You know, just to have that little bit of connection at the beginning of my day and at the end of his to kind of help take a step towards the overall, you know, the overall thing that we want, which is just to kind of feel closer and more connected, even though we're physically separated.
And also, just to go further with that example, that included in that was an understanding that her morning and my evening aren't always going to line up, and we may have other things going on. I might have plans that evening that I can't step away from for a little bit to text, or can't text while I'm doing, or Dedeker might want to sleep in and I might want to go to bed early, which would make our time zones not line up. There was an understanding of those things, but that we would communicate about them and be flexible about them, but still planning that this is a time we know we can chat a little bit.
And just to kind of make a callback, as you'll recall, step number one is to review past actions. So these are the things that once you get to the next month, the next scrum meeting, you know, we go back to our doc and look at what our action points were.
From the previous one. And then we discuss,
like, okay, did we do this? Like, how do we feel about it? Did it work? What didn't work? Or, like, oh, we said that we would do this, but then we didn't. Why didn't we? Should it be something else? You know, so that's kind of the opening conversation to the scrum process.
Yeah, definitely. And it's fun looking back, too, on the month and sometimes being like, oh, wow, damn, we totally pulled that one off.
That's cool.
It became so natural just in the course of a month that I hadn't even thought about it anymore. But, like, yeah, we've really done that. Mm-hmm. Or, like, wow, look at this goal we achieved. Yeah. And they can also be personal.
Yeah, that was going to be my last point to make is that, you know, sometimes in my scrum, I also bring up, like, you know, specifically like with my coaching practice, you know, I really mm-hmm. want to be better about, you know, be more diligent about writing notes for my coaching sessions before it gets too late, you know, and so for this month I'm going to try to do that, you know, to mm-hmm. be just more diligent about that until I get it done right away as soon as the session's done. Mm-hmm. Totally random, crazy, silly example, but it's still nice just having a person in my life that's kind of holding me accountable to that. That kind of helps me to become a better person just on my own, even outside of just who I am inside this relationship.
That's awesome.
And I'd like to clarify something about that, because something that I have coached people for a long time to not do is to sort of be each other's accountability buddies in a relationship, because you don't want the person who's nagging you to, like, stay true to the thing you said you'd do to also be the, you're not gonna, you don't want to have sex with that person or kiss that person. You're like, fuck you. You're the one who's, like, cracking the whip. What I like about this structure,
unless
though,
unless you're really into whip
sure. but what's nice about this structure is, rather than that person just needing to nag you or being like, why are you coming after me for this? There's sort of a clear, like, okay, that next month we're going to come back and review this. That it's not about just kind of, again, that anxiety of, like, when do I bring this up? When is it okay to put pressure on you? When do I give you slack?
You have a specific day and set aside to do it.
Yeah. You have this time to be like, hey, how did you do on that thing? So it's really making yourself accountable and having someone else witness it, rather than making them be the one who's holding you accountable.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a subtle difference, but I found in terms of, like, the difference from when I stopped doing that, like, stopped trying to make my partner be the one that keeps me accountable, that this scrum has still felt like it's fit with that. And I've definitely appreciated that positive change in my relationships.
That's lovely.
So with the last step, so I will say, so the normal, like, agile scrum process for software development and for business and workflow usually stops there.
Right.
You know, you get your action points and then you're done.
Right.
With the relationship version, Alana Krauss adds another step, and this step we've also incorporated into our multi-Emory meetings.
That's
because
a great
I guess
one.
We're big saps.
Yeah.
But the last one is the appreciation round. Em, since you've been part of our multi-Emory meetings, what can you tell us about the appreciation round?
So I know that a lot of maybe in the relationship ones, you can spend a lot of time, like, kind of deconstructing or potentially talking about, like, challenging things or whatever, and it's super nice to be able to sit there and say, like, listen, like, I care so much about you, Dedeker, I care so much about you, Jason, like, here's the reasons why, or just something that that person did that month or that week. Or just, it can be even more abstract than that, but I think the last one, what did I say in the last one? It was talking about the tour, maybe, like, how excited I am about that. We all kind of were speaking about that and how I wouldn't want to do it with anyone other than the two of you.
Right, so, like, I think we all kind of shared in that one about, like, how much we appreciated having this business that we do, but that's also with our best friends, basically, and that's a really cool thing. And in Alana's article, she says there are often happy tears and hugs at this stage.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Oh god, we always cry.
There are some tears pretty much every time.
But it's great.
And it's great.
It's great to end on that as well, because especially, I think, in a relationship, one, if you've had a difficult scrum, to be able to, like, say, like, look, no, but at the end of the day, like, I love you so much, and here are the reasons why I appreciate you. That's really important to end on a high note.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, recognizing specific things, too, not just, like, hey, but you're great.
Yeah,
but
you're being cool, like, whatever.
Even if it is, I mean, sometimes, you know, in our scrums, both as multi-Emory and with Dedeker, the appreciation round is saying, like, hey, I really appreciate you being vulnerable enough to go into this kind of stuff with me, and, like, I appreciate how much closer that gets us, right? It, it can even be related to the hard stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I mean, appreciation round is pretty self-explanatory as well, but it's, you know, giving compliments, or, you know, you can even be physically affectionate, or just give each other a thank you, or if you're really into white tantra, you can sit in eye gaze for maybe 4 minutes or so. You know, kind of whatever it is that's going to express your appreciation for your partner, and that's going to make both of you feel good when you come out of this.
Yeah, definitely. So, in closing, we did want to address a couple things that, for those of you who are skeptical out there, and part of this, I want to address the people who do work in software, which I know there are a number of our listeners who are in that world. and that is, yes, I'm aware that we're not using all of these terms correctly. I know that the meeting's called a retrospective, and it's not called a scrum, and we're not using the term sprint very much. I get it. The point is we're taking the principles from Agile Scrum and applying them to a relationship. And yes, I acknowledge we're playing fast and loose, so you don't need to tweet to us about that.
Exactly. We do, we're not interested in your angry tweets. Like, I'm sorry.
You guys suck.
I'm sorry, but I do appreciate Scrum for what it is, and I appreciate you for knowing it better than we do, which is great. But then the other thing, and Dedeker, you really wanted to talk about this too, and is basically just the question people are going to ask you, or maybe your partner's going to ask you, is like, well, why? Why would we do this instead of just, like, talking about it like normal people?
Yeah. And, I mean, the first thing to say is that just because, you know, Jace and I or my other partners and I do these scrum meetings, it doesn't mean that we just, like, never talk to each other outside of that. You know, it doesn't mean that if something happens in the moment and I'm pissed off, or something happens in the moment and I feel really good, that I'm like, oh, let's wait for the scrum to talk about this.
Right.
Like, there's tons of organic communication. However, as we mentioned, because it kind of creates this container, it creates this intentional space for communication. There have been times, you know, when Jace and I are going to have a Skype date and, you know, maybe there's something that's on our minds or something we need to plan, but we're like, you know what, like, we have a scrum coming up, like, later this week. Let me just write it down in our doc, write it down in some notes for us to talk about it at that time, so that then we can just, you know, hang out and play video games and talk about silly things and not spend our quality time together, you know, trying to hash something out.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
So I think, like, I've appreciated that a lot.
Yeah, I would also share that it's having the scrum coming up has been helpful also for if there's something I'm having a hard time with, knowing that there will that there is already scheduled a time for me to be able to talk about that and express those concerns.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I was having a hard time just feeling upset during a time when Dedeker was traveling around a lot, and so she wasn't as available for our normal Skype dates and texting. This was a few months ago, and I was feeling really upset about that and feeling, you know, lonely or unloved or whatever, but I was aware that it was a situation that just that was. It wasn't like me getting upset about it right then would fix the problem or that there was anything that she could really be doing about that that wouldn't be a huge problem for her in and of itself. And so for me, it was nice to comfort myself by going, you know what, I'm going to get to talk about this in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We can relook at what our schedule is for talking and make sure that that gets addressed. And for me, that's kind of all I needed to be like, yeah, I'm not, doesn't make me feel great all of a sudden, but that I wasn't like worrying about this thing. Again, for me, a lot of this is about removing anxiety by knowing things are going to get addressed and get dealt with. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think whenever I have arguments or whatever, it's so much better, like, maybe the day after or a couple hours after, to be able to be like, okay, I'm not just coming from a truly emotional place, but I can have a little bit of intelligence behind it and say, like, hey, this is actually what I mean.
Right.
My partner taught me that, and this kind of goes along with that, so it's super cool.
And it adds a structure to it instead of having to be like, shit, when can we have an
are
argument
we gonna talk
tomorrow?
About it? Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. a metaphor that I came across actually quite early in my poly journey was, this is kind of a tired out metaphor. I don't know. You guys tell me, but you know, the one of like the frog in the pot that slowly gets boiled.
Right.
For those listeners who are not familiar with it, there's this often cited kind of visual image of the idea that a frog hops into a pot of water that's room temperature. And so the frog is fine, but maybe someone is turning up the heat under that pot of water very, very slowly, just by like a couple of degrees, you know, an hour, like very, very slowly. And so the frog will acclimate to the change in temperature, and not even realize by the time it's too late and the water's boiling and Frog is dead.
Right.
That's a sad story. I like frogs. Story about killing frogs.
I really think that it's very easy for something very similar to that to happen in relationships, is the idea that if, especially if someone's not communicating, if they're feeling resentful or something happened that they are upset with but they're not communicating it, and they just kind of bury it and don't talk about it, you know, that it can get to this point where you don't, like the frog, you don't realize that the temperature is rising until it's too late, until it erupts and somebody gets really mad, like the straw breaks the camel's back, and then everything just falls to pieces, and it's really, really hard to put those pieces back together again. And so I think, you know, having some kind of check-in communication, whether it's Scrum or something else, just to constantly have that, the check-ins that happen outside of just having an argument. Because a lot of people, the only time like real communication gets done is when there's an argument, you know, as opposed to in between the arguments.
Yeah. So having something like Scrum where you have this intentional space for that communication and that it's recurring and regular is really nice. So I highly encourage you to give it a try. Why not? Say like, hey, let's do this for a couple months and see how it goes. I think you'll love it. I've loved it. I'm excited.
Yeah, I have
to
say that.
Emily,
yeah,
Me too.
We've been sitting on this for like 3 or 4 months now because we wanted to try it first for ourselves. You know, we didn't want to.
Right.
As great as Alana Krauss's writing is, like, we didn't want to just take her word for it and give it to you guys. Like, we really wanted to apply it practically, not only within one relationship but within multiple relationships as well. And that's kind of just one quick note that we didn't hit is, you know, Jason and I have done this not only with each other, but also with other partners. And it's been great, but it has been very different with different partners, as it should be, you know, as it should be.
And that's an interesting thing to see, too, just the way that discussion and the agenda and action points and everything goes in each relationship is going to be different. And I think that's, again, like Scrum and Agile is all about being adaptable and meeting the changing needs of that group rather than trying to fit that group into one structure. I think that's a great example of how that this structure does allow for that, that this process doesn't feel the same with every partner.
Yeah, it can be organic.
And Jace, I mean, you did it in a relatively new relationship also.
I did a Scrum with a new partner that I think we had only been dating for maybe 3 weeks at the time.
But I was
telling her about Scrum and our relationship seemed to be getting pretty serious, and so I was like, hey, do you want to do this? It's like, yeah, sure, why not?
That's cool.
And so that was also really interesting too, like coming at a Scrum fresh rather than coming at it with
all this history.
With 3 years of shit we need to dig up. Right? Or however many years. So that was also nice. All right, thank you so much. We really appreciate you. Take some time, write us a review, join our Patreon, join the community there at patreon.com/multiamory.
/cat butt/cat.
If you're watching the video, you're seeing some cat butt right now.
Some cat action.
Yes.
Cat Yoshi.
It's his favorite. Oh my God, his favorite.
He loves it.
God. Okay, no one's going to care about anything else in this episode other than the last 30 seconds of the video.
Yeah, go check out the last 30 seconds of the video to see Stevie loving Yoshi. Oh God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh man.
Well done,
Stevie. If you guys have any questions or want to, you know, suggest topics or guests, you can write to us at info@multiamory.com. You can also tweet at us @multiamory. Find us on Facebook, MultiAmory. Of course, our patreon.com/MultiAmory. All right, thank you all so much. We will see you next week.
See you next week.
Enjoy your Scrum.
Do it.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.